This is Scott Burguin of KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We are returning now to Troops Home Fast. Folks in Washington, D.C. now in their 14th day, many of them, fasting. And we have on the line Diane Wilson, who is a co-founder of Code Pink, but also started her hunger striking days back on a shrimp boat in Texas. And she has a very storied history, I'm sure. Hello, Diane.
Hi. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing very well. It's an honor to have you on the line. I was excited to hear when I talked to Medea Benjamin yesterday, and she recommended I talk to you. I was like, oh boy, this is going to be interesting. And I'll also say that this morning I read through your article back on the 3rd of July. I believe that's the Houston Chronicle.
Yeah, it was the Houston Chronicle.
Okay, that... A wonderful piece of work. You're basically writing, telling people that you're going to go on this fast and why. Gives
yes.
a little bit of your history, and it's very eloquent and very simple, which I think is a great combination. I mean,
yeah,
I don't mean simple in terms of simplistic, but
yeah.
simple in terms of your language is right to the point. And so tell me how you are in day 14, is that right?
Day 14,
day
14. 2 weeks into it.
Okay, and how are you holding up physically?
Oh, I'm holding up. It feels exactly like the first day, except your energy level is lower.
Right.
And that's, you know, I think a lot of people have an idea that, you know, you're going to go into pain, your organs mm-hmm. are going to disintegrate in thin air,
right.
and you're just going to be crawling. But actually, you know, I've done, well, compared to the other legendary fasters here, mine probably isn't that long. The longest I've did it is 31 days, and
mm-hmm.
The last time I did it, 31 days, I felt fine. I felt like I could do 50 days easy, but people, it's like the people who care about you just badger you to stop,
sure.
stop. So
sure.
so I'm doing good.
Well, that's excellent. 31-day fast you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember? Of course you remember that one. What was that specifically
Oh, yeah, I remember
about?
All of them.
Okay, yeah. And this is what
you're... Lessons learned.
Is this your eighth fast?
This is my eighth fast,
eighth
yes.
fast. Okay, well, here you are. You're with... I don't know how many are on the long-term fast. I know they're not just in D.C. There's people across the country.
Yes.
I think the last number is pushed over 4,100 that are now... are currently fasting here and around the world.
Uh-huh. Yes, there is. And it's growing more. And like I said, I was talking to, I wish I remember his last name, but he's a famous faster. His name was Andreas, and I think he did a fast in front of the Congress during Reagan administration, and he did, I think he did 50 days there, and I was talking to him last night, and we both know this is very early in the fast, you know, and it is growing by leaps and bounds, and it only starts get interesting around, 25 days, and it starts to get interesting.
Mm-hmm. 25 days, well, okay. what kinds of things have you been doing, as I said to one of the, you know, we know you're not just sitting around there wishing you had some food.
Yeah,
you all are staying very active and not only trying to build the public knowledge of the fast itself, but obviously the point of this is to get people, as Anne Wright said, get people off their behinds and put it into this war.
That's an old Southern term.
Yes.
Absolutely. And we're, matter of fact, we've just been about all over this place. I know we having to meet up, we've been trying to catch some of the senators because that's one of our targets is to make these Congress people and senators, you know, step up to the ante about bringing the troops home. And we have been passing around a letter asking them to either support the troops on fast, or if they will come down to the park and visit with us, or, you know, if they just flat don't want to get involved at all. And we have did lobbying. We did a press conference last Thursday, I believe it was Dennis Kucinich, Barbara, Barbara Walters, I mean Maxine Waters, and
right.
Barbara Lee,
mm-hmm.
and about five Congress people, and they totally supported the fast, and matter of fact are going to do the fast themselves. So we got congressional people doing a fast. It's, you know, the thing that is remarkable about this one, and I've did a number of fasts, and I know about a lot of fasts that have been done. This is one of the first ones that is national. It's almost international.
Right.
And, you know, so I think the Bush administration and that White House up there should be shaking in their boots.
Right. Well, I am struck by a paragraph, a short paragraph. I guess it's actually, no, it's two sentences in this article we were referring to earlier in the Houston Chronicle, written on July 3rd, or at least published on July 3rd. And if you don't mind, I'll read it to you, and I'd like your further thoughts on it. It says that you grew up Pentecostal church nearly in your backyard, and I've retained one thing besides the gospel singing. We are our brothers and our sisters' keepers. I find it baffling that with all the jostling over whose side God is on, or who's the better born-again, quote-unquote born-again fella, nobody takes that peaceful phrase beyond the paper it's written on. What does that, can you expand on that, what that means to you? Because I think obviously a huge issue today.
It is, you know, especially how much the you know, the fundamentalists, you know, this whole right wing, this whole thing, you know, they are the ones that are really behind, you know, George Bush and supporting him on this war effort. And the one thing that George Bush talks again is about being born again and talking about God, you know. And I was even at a book fair. I wrote a book, and so I was at a book fair, and all of these new books all about God, and it's like the left and right are fighting over, you know, which side God is on. And the thing, the basic thing is, I mean, the fundamental thing is, you are your brother's keeper, and you know. And I remember when I was in the Pentecostal church when I was a real little kid, and they always say, if you can go back to your earliest memory and recall it, it is that memory that will be the basis of most of your philosophy. And I remember being in this Pentecostal church, and it was on this bow, and it was hot, and all these fans were moving, and these two women were singing up front. And the song that they were singing is, No Greater Love That a Man Laid Down His Life for His Friend. And then they died, you know. I mean, well, they collapsed, you know, when you're about 3 years old, you know.
Pretty powerful.
You think they're sure enough dead, you know, but apparently they fainted from the heat. But that has been one of my strong beliefs, you know, that you're your brother's keeper, and the greater love is that you would lay down your life for your friend. And to see all of these children, I mean, you know, I consider them children. I'm 58 years old. I consider them children, what we are sending out to war with a certainty of death staring them straight in the face, and yet we won't commit ourselves to that same level.
Right.
And it still astonishes me. You know, it's like the very obvious. It's like the king has no clothes. It's, to me, it's so obvious, and then nobody says it.
Well, it also appears that you were quite struck by John F. Kennedy and some of the things that he said, and your own personal pursuit to figure out what that meant for you, to that his many times quoted, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." And it sounds like you have, over the last several years, found meaning in that.
That's right. You know, it took me a long time. I really didn't know what he meant, you know, and like I was thinking, you know, I was thinking, well, should I join the Peace Corps, you know, and then I was a medic in the Vietnam War, but it just dawned on me, especially with this Iraq invasion, and especially like we were, you know, Code Pink, there was a delegation of us that went to Iraq, like weeks before the U.S. invaded over there. You know, and it is this country, it is a country of the people. It is, I absolutely believe that, and that's why I get so aggravated about politicians and who's president. It's because I think it's the will of the people, and we've been like this huge line that has just been laying around and hasn't stirred. But to me, that's what makes America great, and that's where our potential lies, in the people. be involved, and up to this point, we haven't been. You know, like, we've just been asleep.
So why do you think that is? Why are we asleep? Why haven't we gotten off our behinds and put an end to this?
Well, one, I think we've become very, very pampered. You know, I know you can just tell the difference between someone who lives with a lot of things, has a lot of things, and that people that tend to live in the country is that you have to, you know, you have to stay real busy, and you stay involved, and it makes you tougher, you know, and you're not so readily able, you, when something happens, so when some catastrophe happens, you're not so so shocked, you know, you can move out of it, because you're, you know, I believe if it don't kill you, it makes you stronger, you know, that's kind of my philosophy, and I think, we're just so pampered, I mean, and then we have TV, I mean, that is like a hypnotic thing. Most people, you'd be surprised how many people won't do anything because they're going to miss their favorite channel. And, you know, I remember I read a piece by Daniel Berrigan, and he said, there's no peace because there's no peacemakers. Because he said, to be a peacemaker, it takes willing to go the same place where war ends up taking you. It takes disruption in your life. Sometimes it takes, you know, sometimes prison, and sometimes it takes you to death. It really does. And I think most Americans don't even want to go there. You know, if it messes with their name, they don't even go there.
Right, right. So that that's a huge problem, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, I do. I think it is.
I think there's also
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
Well, we're here to listen to you, not to me.
Oh.
So go ahead, Diane.
I've been on this. I must admit, the only thing on the 14 days is your mind gets a little foggy and the memory goes fast. I just forgot what I was going to say.
Well, you know, I'm not on the 14th day of a fast, and my so I don't think that's the. It's not always an excuse. I think I was going to ask or talk about the this place we're in, where this impatience we're also in, and maybe it comes from the same thing you're talking about, being pampered. That I mean, you hear this a lot. Well, I marched, that didn't work. You know, I wrote a letter, that didn't work. I sent an email, you know, whatever. And so nothing works. So therefore, I'm not going to do anything. And I think I hear that a lot, and you hear it from people that you don't expect to hear it from. And that's another thing that I hopefully things like this fast will help shake some of those people loose. And
Well, you know what? When I first started my environmentalism, you know, I was a fourth generation shrimper, and I'd been on a boat my whole life. And when these huge chemical companies started coming in, and known polluters, I mean, it was known what they did. They had a reputation for it. And all of the politicians, all the agencies are just going to give them everything. And, you know, and you've been there 100 years in a place. I mean, that's alive to you. It's not just something to work on.
Right.
It's alive to you. And I remember I went through, you know, I went through the process. I went inside the box, you know. I did my petition. I wrote my congressman. I did my lawsuit. And it was like, they were going to get it. You know, and I just flat drew a line in the sand and said, they are not going to get that bay. And I think that's what most Americans are, you know, they give up after that. And it's like, I said, they're not going to get it. And someone said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'll do a hunger strike. And, you know, that was the one I was quoting in my article there. It's, I mean, he just got the biggest kick out of that. It's like, they don't do hunger strikes down here. And it's like, I don't care. You know, I mean, it was off the top of my head. And believe it or not, within 2 weeks of that act of civil disobedience, doing that fast, I got exactly what I wanted. And, you know, and I just, you know, maybe, you know, people don't want to, maybe they're, you know, I say sometimes that people are too well-behaved. We're very well-behaved.
Well, that brings me up. I mean, as a good interviewer, I suppose I should have mentioned your book at the beginning. That's what you always am doing. But you're the author of An Unreasonable Woman, which is a great title.
Yeah,
a true story of shrimpers, politicos, polluters, and the fight for Sea Drift, Texas. That's and that obviously what you just talked about is part of that.
That's
that story.
What it is. I guarantee you.
And
believe it or not, it took me. I was 40 years old, so all those people out there think they're too old for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a bunch of bull.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that, is there anything that in this 14 days, with the interactions you've had with congressional people, with the public coming up, I'm sure, I'm guessing, hopefully that most people are supportive, but you probably also had some people that are not very supportive.
That's
is there
true.
Anything that you can think of right now that's any surprises for you at this point?
I'm trying. Well,
other than maybe that there's no surprises.
It's kind of no surprises. It's kind of, you know, most of the people are totally in support of us, you know, and surprisingly, well, I guess this is surprising to even some of the people that look real, you know, like they're going to be against us. They kind of got that stern look on their face.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out. You know, so you really, really can't judge by looking at someone how they're going to feel about it. But we've had a lot of people from Japan, from Egypt, from Canada, from Ecuador, all over the places,
mm-hmm.
and almost, well, I guess I could say every single foreign visitor has been opposed to this war, every single one of them.
Wow. All right. Well, is there any other thoughts you'd like to share with folks, something you'd like to say to anybody that would be listening to this?
We're trying to get this number up to 100,000, so we need people to sign up and do at least one day of a hunger strike.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a momentum, and it's just, you know, it's like drops into an ocean, and it
mm-hmm.
all matters. Everything that people do matters. And so, you know, if someone can just do it for one day, you know, we'd prefer 2 days. And like I said, 14 days into it, I feel just fine.
You're cruising.
Really,
you're cruising right now.
I'm cruising. Ask me in 50 days. Then
no.
I'll talk to you.
Okay. Well, well, let's hope that when we get to 50 days, when that moment comes, that there is that 100,000 people or something like that on that.
And that would be, you know, that's really making a statement. It really, really is.
Well, there's, you know, there is something that runs through my head that says, and I don't know if this is true or if this is my religious training, most of it, which didn't stick, that if you can't commit something of yourself to a cause you believe in, then I don't want to say you don't deserve the results you want, but it's you can't expect
that's right.
The results.
That is right. I can't agree more. I can't agree more.
Well, you all are a shining beacon for those of us out here in the small towns and elsewhere in the country and the world, I'm sure. And we'll do what we can to not only spread the word, but hopefully get more folks, including ourselves, joining the fast.
Bless your little heart there.
And
I sure appreciate it.
Okay, well, Diane, we really appreciate you taking the time. And we'll,
you're quite welcome. It was a pleasure.
Okay, and we'll check back with you. Have a great end of the day 14 and going into day 15.
Okay, you take care, honey.
You too,
bye-bye.
Bye.
I was speaking to Diane Wilson, who's co-founder of Code Pink. She's in the towards the end of the 14th day of her fast as part of the Troops Home Fast in D.C. and around the country and the world. You can get more information on the fast. You can join the fast, as they said, just one day. If you can handle doing one day a month, one day a week, or more days, go to troopshomefast.org. Make sure if you're going to fast that you do register and let them know, because as Diane stated, they're trying to build those numbers, and they have been building. You can see those numbers as they build on the website, again, at troopshomefast.org. Diane Wilson, as I said, is a co-founder of Code Pink. She also is the author of An Unreasonable Woman, A True Story of Shrimpers, Politicos, Polluters, and the Fight for Sea Drift, Texas.